During this portion of Vocal Point, we're going to talk about refugees into the United States. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Matthew Sorens, who is the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization for World Relief Corporation. Their website is worldrelief.org. Matthew, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, give us a big picture in terms of refugees, especially those who are Christians who are seeking refuge, you know, from war-torn Syria or Iraq or places like that.
Yeah, so very big picture. There's an estimated 22.5 million refugees in the world today, which is actually an unprecedented number. There's never been that many since anyone's been tracking these statistics. And those are people who meet the legal definition of someone who'd fled a well-founded fear of persecution because of their race, religion, political opinion, national origin, or social group. So those, of course, are not all Christians. There's people of various different religious backgrounds, but a very significant number are. And often it's Christians for whom their faith has actually been a central reason for why they're being persecuted. So, for example, it's only a very small percentage. In any recent year, it's never been more than 0.5% of the world's refugees who are offered to the opportunity to come to the United States. But among those that have had that opportunity, if you look over the last decade, there's been more Christians than those of any other faith background. And in particular, for example, the top country of origin for refugees in recent years has been Burma or Myanmar in Southeast Asia. And about 70% of those folks are Christians, primarily Anglicans or Baptists. And it's because of their faith that is actually one of the central reasons that their government has persecuted them for many, many years. Similarly, if you look at the Iraqi refugees who've come in the past decade or so, about a third of them have been of a Christian background. And as I think most people are aware from the news coverage, unfortunately, Christians have faced really horrific persecution in Iraq in the last several years because of ISIS and various other situations there. So standing with refugees is, I think, a really important way for us to stand with the persecuted church, while also recognizing that those who aren't Christians are made in God's image and they're neighbors whom God has called us to love.
Right. Okay. Now, one thing that does muddy the water, and it would be good for you to address this, is sometimes there are Muslim refugees coming from certain countries where it sounds like or seems like they're almost doing it as part of, demographic jihad, if you will. And that, I'm sure, muddies the waters and makes things worse for the Christians who are just trying to flee persecution and just live.
Yeah, you know, my experience has been, because we've worked with a lot of Muslim refugees as well as a lot of Christians, that actually their stories are quite similar. They're both fleeing persecution, whether it's from a government. And often what you see with some of the Muslim refugees is they're the wrong kind of Muslim for whatever the government in their country is. So between the Sunni and the Shia Muslims, there's a lot of tensions in certain countries. But actually their stories sound a lot like the stories of persecuted Christians, that they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go to a new country, but they felt they had no choice because their home was being bombed or their life had been threatened. So that's been my experience. Their stories are often very similar. And sometimes it's where Muslims are a religious minority. So people have seen the stories of the Rohingya refugees also in Burma. So again, many Christians from Burma, but the government there, which is primarily Buddhist, has persecuted both Christian groups, but also some Muslim groups.
I read somewhere, as far as India is concerned, that the current Prime Minister of India has a goal to make the country purely Hindu by 2021. If that's the case, then that means he has to deal with the 5% or so that are Christians and the 5% or more that are Muslims in that country.
Yeah, that's another really concerning situation as it relates to religious freedom. And, for Christians as well as Muslims, that's obviously if it's a goal stated by the national leadership, and I've read that as well, I think it's incredibly concerning for what that could mean for people who don't share that faith. And that's an area that I think is really concerning. I know Open Doors is a really great organization that focuses a lot on persecuted Christians and has really highlighted India, as well as a number of other countries, as places of particular concern right now for persecuted Christians. And they've also been really, I think, a great spokesperson. They've also done a great job of speaking out for why it's important that the U.S. continue to welcome refugees as well, not just from one religious background, but based on vulnerability and, of course, vetting and screening anyone who comes in. to make sure that they are not only refugees, meeting that legal definition, but also that they're not anyone who has any intention to do harm to the United States. And there's a really strong record there. I mean, there's been about 3 million refugees admitted to the U.S. since 1980, and there hasn't been a single American life taken in that time by someone who came through the U.S. refugee resettlement program and then tried to commit some sort of terrorism.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what about Syria? Tell us about that.
So the situation in Syria is unfortunately very stark and continues to be very stark. There's more refugees who have fled Syria than any other country in the world at this point, around 5 million refugees.
Wow.
And that doesn't include another 7 million who are displaced within the country. So they've fled their homes but are not outside of the borders of their country. If you add that up, about 12 million people, it's roughly half of the people of Syria in the last, you know, 7 to 8 years have been forced to flee their homes, which I think is just, you know, gives you an image of just the level of chaos and horror that's happened in that country. It's been a very small percentage of those folks who've been able to come to the United States. At this point, almost no Syrian refugees are being allowed in. I think thus far this year, it's been 11 to the U.S., so very, very small numbers. But even in the previous administration, the numbers never got very high in terms of Syrian refugees coming to the U.S. And part of that is it's usually a process of vetting that takes several years in most cases. And with the decision of the current administration to dramatically reduce refugee resettlement, at this point, almost no Syrians are being allowed in, whether Christians or Muslims.
Well, I think the concerns there are related to safety and well-being, and, you know, especially trying to avoid scenarios where, I mean, we're seeing a lot of terrible things going on in Europe. London, for example, is becoming very dangerous, and part of that is the refugee population. That's my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong, but enlighten us.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just read an article by a friend of mine who works with Lausanne, which is a Christian group at a global level, talking about the growth of the church in Europe that's also happening as a result of people coming into Europe from refugee-like situations. And some of those are already Christians, but many of them are Muslims who are being welcomed by local churches. And frankly, a lot of them are people who are a little bit disenchanted with what's been done in the name of Islam. And when they're welcomed and loved by Christians, it's an opportunity for the church to show them, you know, who Jesus is. So, you know, I think we have that opportunity in the U.S. as well. And that doesn't mean the government doesn't have an important role to make sure we're doing vetting and security. But again, our government, I think to their credit, has a really strong record of doing so. And I think we want to, you know, I think that's commendable. But it's, I would hate to see the opportunity for the church minimized to love and welcome people, both our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those who might one day be our brothers and sisters in Christ if we are faithful to that biblical command to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Sure. All right. And tell us about some of the things that churches are doing to help refugees.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we're really excited right now at World Relief is a lot of people have said, you know, what can we do, especially at a time when the number of refugees arriving are down. There's still refugees coming in, though. So we both have opportunities through World Relief offices in different parts of the country to welcome refugees, to meet them at the airport, to help them kind of in their process of adjusting to life in a new country, learning the language, all those sorts of things. But we've also seen a lot of people say, I want to step up and do what I can to stand with refugees right now. So in the last few weeks, we've started something around the idea of World Refugee Day, which happens once a year, to invite people to go onto worldrelief.org and set a goal of raising some funds to help welcome refugees into the United States. Because it does take, you know, some resources to welcome refugees well, make sure that they have all that they need for those first few months that they're in the country, and then to facilitate those relationships long term with local churches and volunteers. So we've seen a lot of people stepping up and say, hey, I want to both raise some funds myself and challenge my friends to be part of this as well by really advocating for refugees.
And there are ways in which people are donating, like furniture, basic household items, English as a second language classes are being provided in some churches, and counseling and job skill training and employment services and things like that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, and I get to work out of one of our World Relief offices outside of Chicago where I live, so I get to see this day in and day out. People are very involved in every part of that process of helping refugees adjust to new life. So as you said, there's furniture that people donate. So when a refugee arrives, their apartment is already furnished. We do English classes at a variety of local churches and help local churches that are, you know, wanting to provide that sort of ministry, just to make sure we're both doing it in a way that's helping people learn English as quickly as possible, while also being a really great opportunity for relationship building. Yeah. We do have a counseling center in the office where I work, because the reality is a lot of refugees have gone through really horrific trauma. I mean, we have people who've been persecuted, who've been tortured even. Mm. And so having someone who can help them in a culturally understanding way to work through those issues is really important. We also do a lot of work with kids and with youth, especially now when the school year is over, there's less to keep them busy during the day, making sure that they have productive ways to use their time and to continue to move forward academically, as well as opportunities to just build relationships with people who will show them God's love. So we do, a lot of things, and our mission at World Relief, and one thing that maybe makes us a little bit distinct, is not just to help refugees integrate, but to empower the local church to serve the most vulnerable. So we want to make sure that as much as possible, our ministry is happening through people within local churches who are stepping up as volunteers, as donors, as advocates, and that's, really central to our mission.
And I understand there's just hundreds and hundreds of local congregations in America that have been involved and are involved in this kind of ministry to refugees in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have about 20 offices around the U.S. that have worked with, as you said, hundreds of churches. I think it was, I forget the exact number the last time I looked at the numbers, but it might have been over 1,000, I believe.
Well, here's one number which says, in one of your releases, it says 1,817 local congregations to resettle refugees, and in the last year, at least 253 new churches have gotten involved. So that's more than 2,000 total.
No, absolutely. I was going to say almost 2,000. I didn't want to overstate it, but I think that you've got the better data than I do. But we have seen a lot of new interest from local churches in the last year or two in particular that have reached out and say, what can we do to welcome refugees? And again, that's where we've set up this idea of being advocates for refugees and helping people, and raise funds to help welcome refugees through our website, worldrelief.org. And we see it as a great opportunity for people who really want to take a stand and want to stand with refugees to do so at a time that many refugees are feeling kind of vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, I could see what your whole point about showing the love of Jesus Christ at a time like that. It's hard to believe, by the way, going back to what you said about Syria, you said about essentially half of the population before the civil war began many, many years ago. It's been so long now, it's just hard to believe this thing hasn't stopped. But about half the population has been displaced or left the country?
That's right. So, I think one thing that helps me to just put my mind around that is if this something like that were to happen in the United States, God willing, that wouldn't ever happen. But some of my friends who've come from Syria have said they never thought this would happen in Syria. And Syria was a country that received refugees from Iraq and from other, global conflicts in the past. But with what's happened, if that were to happen in the United States, it'd be roughly if you drew a line from north to south that cut through the state of Ohio and put, everybody to the west on one side, everybody on the east to the other, having half of the country forced to flee their homes. I mean, you can just, it's almost incomprehensible what that would look like.
Yeah.
But that's roughly the analogy to what has happened in Syria.
Yeah, and again, part of it, you were mentioning, the different types of Muslims. Assad is a type of Shiite, but it's not a regular Shiite, not like a full-blown Shiite. I don't know. But anyway, and the Shias and the Sunnis don't get along and so forth. All right, we have less than a minute to wrap up. What else would you like to say that hasn't been said, especially about, I understand there was a poll that found that evangelicals seem to be least likely to believe that the U.S. has any responsibility to help accept refugees.
Yeah, so that poll came out from the Pew Research Center, I think, a week or so ago. It was disappointing for me to see. I should note that there's at least 25% of white evangelicals. It doesn't necessarily include, they didn't poll evangelicals who are not ethnically white, because they separate that demographically. But among white evangelicals, 25% say we should welcome refugees as a nation, and the rest didn't make that statement, which in my mind, I think the church should be at the forefront of saying we want to welcome refugees. Because for one thing, Jesus himself was a refugee at one point in his life, fleeing persecution under King Herod to find safety in Egypt. And I think that we have a real mandate biblically to do that. And also it's such an opportunity for the church. And we've seen such fruit as we welcome both persecuted Christians and those who might one day be Christians So we're just really passionate about this at World Relief and really grateful for the many amazing church partners who've stepped up and said, we want to advocate for refugees. We want to help raise funds. We want to help fill apartments with furniture. We want to be there at the airport to welcome those folks as they show up.
All right, Matthew Sorens, thank you so much for joining us. WorldRelief.org for more information. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you now. Bye-bye.